It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare the Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples.
When you take out a qualifying product, to Compare the Market. One membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
I drove it for 25 minutes, mainly on a sort of single track road in one gear with no speedo, no RPM, no lights, no indicators, and every morning message bonging at me.
Right.
The only thing that didn't stop me is the fact there wasn't smoke coming out of it.
Mm.
So that is going to be exceptionally costly.
Hello and welcome to the 31st Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin, William to my left, and Benjamin.
Hello.
Behind the couch.
Not very energetic. I'm very sorry.
Not zesty. Not
hello.
Sure. That's
yeah.
Fine.
Better.
Lovely.
Sure.
At the beginning of every Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, we answer the question: do cars rule or ruin everything around us in the past week or so? William, set it off.
Rule.
Rule.
I have painted the McGann wheels white. Well, yep. I didn't. A professional did, which I'm very pleased with. I wasn't sure about. And also, I fixed the Clio, sort of.
Now, it's actually been over a week. Well, it's about a week and a half since we did the last podcast. So I think you've forgotten something that happened. Or do you not want to talk about that?
Sorry, yeah, I did forget about that.
Yeah.
I'm so up on my personals that...
it's done.
The Jaguar.
Which one? Because we had a blue one that basically, well, skipped timing on a chain and cost us thousands to repair. You talking about the blue one or the green one?
Which one did that?
Oh, is it both of them that did the same thing?
So we went drag racing and I did lots of losing.
Yeah.
At drag racing. You will have seen that video by now. That video is now up. Did lots of losing. Didn't win all day. I also lost to the Motul truck. That was great fun as well. That's not in the video. But anyway. And then the Jag got some issues on the way home.
We all departed our ways. Yeah. It's maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours north. Yeah. I went home in the trailer. Ben headed off back to Bristol. Yeah. Wilwitt drove home in the Jag. And by the time I got back to the unit here, I opened my phone when I got here and saw a string of messages. And you start talking about it and I'll read the messages.
I was confident with the Jag, so I thought I will drive it to and from Santapod. I think it'll be fine. And it was fine. All was good. Apart from a day of absolutely beating its head in, lots of burnouts, lots of limiter bashing. On the way home, I got engine started to overheat.
Well, so I've got it here. So at 5:07, I send a photo of an Audi S5 in a car park that I say, you know what, I think that's actually quite nice because I don't usually like them. Will responds, ooh, Jag's not happy at all. The engine overheat message, and then I lost all electrics and limp mode. Comfortable. And then a message 1 minute later, replying to the S5 saying, that's actually quite nice, yeah. Which sums us up kind of perfectly, really. Distracted by cars in every situation.
Yeah.
And then Ben replies to Will from his message saying, uh-oh, great. And Will said, when I plug a code reader in, the car shuts off, the wipers go on, and it won't start. And then you say, I've limped it back to mine, I'll let it cool down, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
I drove it for 25 minutes, mainly on a sort of single track road in one gear with no speedo, no RPM, no lights, no indicators, and every morning message bonging at me.
Right.
The only thing that didn't stop me is the fact there wasn't smoke coming out of it.
Mm.
So I just carried on. Next day, Moorish disconnected the battery because after I turned it off, it wouldn't turn back on. Disconnected the battery.
Your classic, turn it off and on again.
Turned it back on. Some errors. And I drove it to the unit with a bong. You know the sort of bong you have if you leave a door open?
Yeah.
It goes dong, bong. It was that, but all the time.
Constant.
So I drove to the unit with this constant bong. The only time it stopped is if the car stopped.
Great.
If I hit like below 5 miles an hour, it would go silent. But again, no indicators, no real light. Not really the safest way.
No.
But I just needed to get it to the unit. I wanted it off the driveway and not to leave it at the side of the road. And then I just thought randomly, well, let me just have a look at the chain. Because that had a good chain.
Yeah, that was good.
It all seemed good. And I thought, let me have a look. I took the oil cap off where you can sort of see the top part of the chain. And he was loose like wizard sleeve.
Really big time.
Big, big time. So we think engine fine.
Yeah, so, and the other thing to note is that, now we didn't say it, we actually cut it out of the video. We had intended to give the green Jag or do the raffle on the green Jag because it's a really nice car. After the video, while the video was going out, while we were prepping for it, we were going to send it off to get the windscreen replaced. the bodywork fixed, so it was legit just a straight, clean, nice car.
Really nice, yeah.
Just nice. And then this happened, and we went, well, we can't give it away to you guys with a potential chain that's about to jump. So we have sent it to Tom Lenthal's, and on our dime, we will pay to have the chains done. So
Tony is doing another chain. So that is going to be exceptionally costly.
But
and we've already lost a load of money on the blue car.
Oh,
we lost.
Jaguars have
quite a lot.
Jaguars have put a dent in TDC.
Oh, it's not. It's a. You know, if we were on car vertical, we'd be done. We'd have yellow markers.
Yeah, we've got yellow markers.
Truly awful businessmen.
Yeah.
Just losing money on every car.
So all we can say is that when we do come to give away the Jag, not only will it be the greatest XFR ever to have lived
with chains, with bodywork, with windscreen,
supercharger pulley. It will be, and it's green.
It's green.
Please buy tickets because we desperately need this now.
Yeah,
we're two Jags deep and well over £10,000 deep in Jags.
Yeah, so it's a rule for you then.
Yeah, so it's a rule because my Clio works.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
Benjamin.
Rule standard stuff. I had I drove the X5 the other day. It told me it had a red tire pressure light, meaning puncture. You must stop. I was very upset because I've just had a tire done on that. Because it had that same issue. Got out of the car. He's fine. I think he just got upset. Apart from that.
just got upset. Something new. I don't like this.
There's nothing.
I think your tire's flat.
There's nothing wrong with it. I press and held the button. It's gone.
Okay.
And we're back. So it's a rule.
I want someone to make a compilation of Ben's car problems.
Yeah.
I think if we play it back to you at the end of the year, you'll go, do you know what? Life's all right.
There'll be a big one.
Perhaps Mr. Laser. One for you.
yeah, the... A flat tire the other day.
So, a rule overall?
Yeah, rule, yeah. No, not really any news.
The rule for me is, again, you would have seen it at the end of that video. Mm. I got to coming up for a 2 or 3 minute burnout in the E55, and nothing makes me more happy than destroying tires. The guys at Santa Pod said, yeah, you can do a burnout. And the moment he said yes, my brain said, I'm not stopping until I pop those wheels. So that car needs to go off to bodywork to get the rear arches. And now perhaps a little bit patch past the rear arch.
It did do some damage.
It did some damage to the car, but worth it. Absolutely worth it.
We have some great footage for the ages.
Yo.
Not all of it is actually in the video, but there's so many burnouts.
It just keeps going.
That happened. That is possibly... Burnouts are... If you're miserable during a burnout, there's something deeply wrong with you.
If this is a little bit of... What is it called? Not wish fulfillment. What do you call it, Ben, when you put something out into the universe? Gen Z's talk about it.
Oh, that's going to be manifestation.
That's the one, manifestation. Don't actively go into comments and do it, but Cletus McFarland, one of my all-time YouTube dreams is to go over for one of his burnout competitions and do something there.
Take an E55
there. That no one there, the Americans are going to go, what the hell is that thing? But you turn up with something in an XFR and just do
a great burnout,
silly burnout in a competition. That would be cool. I'd love to do that.
Both those cars really quite American in nature in the way they do a burnout. Very impressed. But the Merc, quite surprising.
Really lovely.
Crazy.
That was the underdog.
Absolutely.
And yet the
squat on that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I really love it. Just before we did the drag racing the weekend before, I got offered an E55 AMG wagon for $4,500.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, I've got this E55 there. After that drag race, I need an E55. And it's mainly a wagon because of the weight behind it. It just swings around like a pendulum. It's the best thing in the world. I love it. So I may need to find one and buy one.
I've never actually seen a tire. What's it called when that happens?
Delaminate.
Delaminate. It's kind of not scary, but it's kind of crazy.
It just
happens. It also happened. The tire exploded and then hit our GoPro just possibly 100 meters in the air.
Oh yeah, that's not in the video. When it delaminated, it sent a GoPro. Well, I was doing the burnout. There's a GoPro on the side of the car. The smoke cleared. We all kind of came and looked at the car, and someone went, "Wasn't there a GoPro on the side of the car?" And we all went, "Oh no." So we all kind of fanned out from the middle of where the burnout took place. It was probably 3 or 4 minutes later that someone went over 100 meters away, found it.
Yeah, it was Jamie from Santa Pod. I just heard, there's one here.
And it is.
He's miles away.
It is mashed, that GoPro.
It's really
it is absolutely destroyed. But if you watch the video, the bit where it's an instant replay of the tire, on the car, you see it go, and then the GoPro goes white. That's because the GoPro got flung. That's when that happens.
Yeah, we reckon it went under the... Under the wheel.
Yeah, fell off. The wheel was going so quickly, it just launched. Luckily, in the complete opposite direction of anyone standing.
Yes, very lucky.
But, yeah. That was
just where the tyre went.
So yes, it's a rule for me on that basis. And also for a car behind us, that's another rule.
Oh, we've got another rule.
We can perhaps let's talk about what the challenge is. I mean, people are going to know what the car is, but
we'll set it up.
You'll see it in a while. Basically, we have got a video on mid-June that Auto Alex guys are going to a track, and they've challenged us to build a £500 track car. £500 for the car, £500 for mods. And us being TDC, being car nerds, the idea, this was not like set in stone. It was, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? That was proposed on a Friday. On Monday morning, we had the car.
Yep.
We had bought
Monday morning, we bid on the car, won the car, and then by the afternoon, evening, it arrived.
It arrived. And it was Monday morning, we bid on the car and won it. And after winning it, I called Rory and went, we are doing this video, aren't we?
And it probably wouldn't have mattered either way.
It wouldn't have mattered.
You know what, we'll do our own.
And he went, yeah. I went, cool, we've got a car. Cool. It's already done.
So yeah, £500 car, £500 mods. We are sort of going over rules as we go along.
Yeah.
We've been told a number of things that we think aren't quite right.
No, so, the first rule was that we had to stick to the £500 budget, and I took that personally. I didn't like that.
That's insane.
So we went over on the budget.
We went over on the budget. Now, first rule we've decided, we pitched, is that first rule is that you can break one rule.
Which is, and I think that's fair, that's in the spirit of motorsport. How much more fun would Formula One be if you could break one rule?
It'd just break the budget one and win.
you spent £1 billion on this car. But if you could break one that's just like, you can have your tyre pressure set 5 PSI exactly. Look different, that would be cool.
So we broke the car budget rule by spending £675.
But
there is a caveat.
There is a caveat. The car comes with wheels that we like a lot and we would have bought with our budget anyway. Also, we're reasoning with people who don't care and they're on our side. Yeah. No, but you should believe us.
This is for Rory and Taylor and Alex to really understand.
Cut back to this footage. No, we spent £175 over the budget, but we would have spent £200 on those wheels anyway.
Exactly. So we're actually under the £500 budget in our heads.
And we've also taken that off of our modifying budget. Yeah. We don't have £500 now, we've got £325.
Yeah. But we've just put, we won't say exactly what we got, but we got a quite obscene deal on some stuff. And this isn't like YouTuber silliness where someone's gone, oh, we'll just give you all this stuff. We went to a guy yesterday who has a Clio rally car.
Yeah.
He bought for like £25,000.
Matt, and very
he
nice
got,
guy.
He got Mr. Rally, I think he was on YouTube. And he had no idea about the channel.
Didn't know TDC.
He saw our post in the owner's group and he was like, I need to get rid of some stuff. Because he bought this rally car and also got tons of spares.
Yeah.
So he had like a shipping container full of bits that he's now spread out everywhere. He had maybe 20 odd bumpers, 15 doors.
Infinite.
Steering wheels, wheel, like every part of it. You could assemble multiple Clios.
Yeah.
Based off what he's got.
So we had a mooch around. So yeah, so we're quite, not confident. I'm not going to say we're quietly confident, but we're excited because it's going to be fun. This car's going to be cool.
One other rule that we are really against right now that's actually it's limiting us is we thought we could sell bits off the car.
Yeah.
Which was part of the reason for the wheels. We thought we're going to buy them anyway. But worst case, we could sell them, get 100 quid back.
Yeah.
But also, we have a cat.
Yeah.
And we want to sell that.
But and it's a race car.
By the FIA rules, brackets, Rory Taylor and Alex.
The idiot association.
that we can't sell bits.
Yeah, we're not allowed.
So we might have to go big loopholes on that.
Yeah, we're going to have to jump through some...
But we're excited. We were actually going to tell you all that this is Ben's car. If you're not listening, there is a silver Clio 172-182 generation thing behind us.
That's been crashed.
It was raining and Ben crashed.
We might call it the raindrop mobile.
Yeah.
It's the hoop mobile. You'll find out why.
Yeah.
Also, something that Ben found out today, Ben's going to be racing too.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Yeah. I bought myself a helmet.
You have? Yeah, we've got
that's
we've got
exciting.
Helmet,
which is quite... It's to describe it, it is red with daisies on it.
So it's also in the same, if you've watched any TDC videos, in the same style as Will and I's helmets, which are Vespa helmets, open-faced Vespa helmets.
We've got, Will wears the Union Jack one. What's your one?
I've got it's in reality a Lambretta one, but it's referred to as the Kamikaze. It's the Japanese flag on the side.
We were going for the UK versus...
It's a Zero Fighter.
Mine is a Union Jack.
So,
which Tom Lenthal tried on the other day.
We're very excited for that. shall we get on to some news and anecdotes?
Small newses, not many newses. There's one Ben's put in, but very quickly.
Before we carry on, we are lucky enough this week to have a sponsor, and not only any sponsor, it's Autodoc, which is Europe's leading online retailer for car parts. We have been buying car parts for them from years. I mean, I've been buying them since 100%. I was maybe 17, 18 yeah. years old. And they've sponsored us this week.
They operate across 27 European countries, making them one of the most accessible platforms in the whole region.
Their catalogue features over 5.8 million parts from over 1,400 trusted suppliers, one of which we made an order to Autodoc right now. If you're an audio listener, sorry, you're just hearing a lot of box opening.
Our ASMR. I've ordered parts from Autodoc before for my Clio. They've got calipers, engine parts, sensors, and there we go.
There we go. Febby parts. They have Febby in stock. We've bought this for the secret project behind us, which you'll find out more about soon. But that's a go-to place to get Febby parts.
Yeah, people always ask us, and now you know.
Autodoc
is one of those places. They also have an app, so make sure you download that, because that makes ordering and searching for parts much, much easier.
Also, something that's not even part of the ad read, if you keep going back to the app, you get discounts as you go on.
Do you?
That you like build up a discount. I spent months opening up the Autodoc app to build up my discount.
So it's
discount.
Like a game.
Yeah, it is literally a game.
I'm assuming there's a limit to it. You don't, you know.
I think there is, yeah.
You've got a 400-day streak.
I've got 7 billion euro off the next one. If you're someone like us who consumes a lot of automotive media, you'll probably already know Autodoc's name from their YouTube videos because they have tutorials on how to fit lots of the major parts. If you have a BMW, an Audi, a Volkswagen, there is an Autodoc video on how to fit each part, how to change a water pump, how to change a wheel bearing. It's really good.
The amount of times I've seen an Autodoc video and I've searched for X car fit X part and it says Autodoc and it says what tools you need, how long it might take, this is the part.
Done.
Ben, loads of X5 stuff on there. It's great. So we use Autodoc. We're going to continue to use Autodoc and we've been using it for years as well. So it's a trusted platform. So make sure you hit the link in the description, use code TDC and you'll get 5% off your order.
I'm using that 5%, by the way.
I'm using that heavy.
Yeah.
One news that has come today. One piece of news
the
that I saw today.
Postman has delivered it.
He has delivered it on the internet. Is a GT2 RS. Now, we kind of already knew this was going to be a thing at some point.
Oh, that's the new one. There's a 992
GTR. Oh, wow. GT2 RS. Well, there's no like confirmation, but there's been a thing testing at the ring.
Okay.
And it looks ape shit.
Is there a photo?
There is a photo. Everyone's going to complain that it's not on the screen. The photo might be on the screen.
Brackets, it won't.
Otherwise, feel free to Google it.
If we remember to put it on the screen, it will be there. If not, you'll have to listen to Edwin go, whoa.
Now, I do have some issues. There's some fitment issues.
Oh, okay. Good God, that wing is large.
It's got, the GT3 RS has a huge wing.
Someone's dinner table.
But the goddamn arches on the thing.
Yeah, that's...
The gall to turn up with arches like this and say, I am a road car.
I'm a normal car.
And apparently 750 horsepower.
Good God.
So that will be...
My question is, when will it end?
When does it end?
When will it end?
Yeah.
Do you remember what... Well, I remember being a child and watching Top Gear and hearing that a Bugatti Veyron had 1,000 horsepower and going... That is an actual spaceship.
Yeah.
Nothing on Earth has, other than Supras, has 1,000 horsepower.
And stock ones.
We're creeping up on that number now for non-hypercar.
Yeah.
Okay, you can call a GT-RS hypercar, fine. But that's a car, there's cars in dealerships. There's going to be them around. I've seen multiple GT-RSs of 991 gen around and about. 750 horsepower.
The thing is, like the GT3 RS, they never actually go to wild powering. Like the current gen, it's not that much more powerful than the last one because it's not really about that.
No,
the engine is meant to be it's high revving.
Yeah,
but it's more about that downforce aero, blah blah blah. But that they've just gone. I think it'll be. Well, the last one was 6-something.
It's tiny.
Yeah, silly amount. So they went, 750 will do.
Owners were saying, mate, it's a good car, but can I get some more power? Come on, please.
So I'm sure there'll be a Nürburgring record attempt or something at some point because it looks... I didn't actually like the last one.
I don't know.
We're talking about some... I've never driven this car, but
I think it's cool looking,
visually.
To me, like a 996 GT2, there's still... And the 997. I know an RS is always a bit more hectic, but there should be some air of subtlety to it. That's what I think is lost. An RSR race car doesn't do as much for me as a angry but subtle looking road car.
Okay.
Now,
I like the fact that this now looks like an RSR or whatever they're called, that but without a livery on. It's just a man driving a race. It's like the race car without any rules.
Yeah, which is
because the race car has a limit on power and whatever else. This is the race car. But it has 750 horsepower. Yeah. It's essentially a video game car.
And it has a warranty. Enjoy.
Now, I actually know this. Is that a Turbo S, but track, or a Turbo, but a track version of it?
That's even more power than that.
Well, it's turbocharged though, right? The GT2 is.
Taking a turbocharged engine and then putting it in essentially a G3 RS.
Okay, so that's why he's quicker again.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not a 911 man. This is the kind of 9/11 that I can...
George Bush trying to deny involvement, be like.
Okay, interesting.
We're
not quite a conspiracy yet. I'm not a 9/11 mad, but this is the only kind of 9/11 I have any interest in.
Is
the big boys. But I would quite like to see just a GT2 come back.
That's what I'd love to see.
I loved the 997 GT2.
That's one of the coolest 911s in the world to me.
Because there's not a huge... There is an RS of that.
There is. So the 997 is the only generation that there ever was both a GT2 and an GT2 RS.
Yeah.
Every other generation either just had one or the other.
Yeah. But then that gen of it was, again, not as extreme, actually. If you look at a 997 a GT3 or a Turbo, there's not like
it's still mad aero.
It's quite subtle. But usually
has the black bonnet, which is, I mean, definitely kind of different. Yeah. But other than that, it looks still like my mum would look at it and go, "That's a Porsche 911."
But imagine you had something that it looked like a 911 turbo to most.
Yeah.
But it was a 700 horsepower rear wheel drive. Yeah. There were a couple subtle differences. A
couple Sousons.
A wing. The front bumper's a little bit different. Yeah. The wheels are different. That would be nice.
That'd be nice.
Just Porsche, mate. I'm your biggest hater.
But do
that for me.
Okay, so that's our news for the week. That's it.
There was one from Ben.
This is cool.
Apple. I don't know what it is.
Apple CarPlay
Plus.
Ultra Plus, something like that. So they announced a few years ago that Apple CarPlay, which I think universally is a liked thing.
Yeah.
I have it in my X5. You know what? It's good. I would rather have it than not, but I probably wouldn't pay to put it in.
There's already people. Apple sheep.
I don't care. I like it. Now, they announced a few years ago that they would be basically making a version of that that was every screen in the car. So take over the gauge cluster, take over the middle screen, climate control they mentioned at one point. Whether that's happening, I'm not sure. And they have just announced that Aston Martin will have the first like full integration of that in their cars, and it looks cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Is this all touchscreen?
No, so it's the middle screen is Apple CarPlay.
On your dials, your rev gauge, hold on, mate.
So the rev gauge is taken over by it, and you can choose different styles, and you can have different information up there. And I don't care what anyone says. Apple CarPlay is better than any infotainment system in any car.
That I will agree with. That I do agree with.
I want that across the board. It's simple. It's easy. Yeah. Let's have that.
Although I don't like the sound of customizable gauge clusters.
Well, it's the same as like most modern cars that have digital ones. You can choose like a few different styles.
Yeah.
It's like that. So you have
If it's like that, then fine. I don't want people rocking up with like
Comic Sans
like
on their
it feels aftermarket.
It's like a photo of your family as a wallpaper on the background. Yeah, I don't.
I've heard about this before. I think it makes sense to have someone who knows touchscreens and this is their job. But I think actually some of like McLaren stuff that was Android because people would have when they like the screens would fail, they'd have the little Android thing going, "Hey yo, this is broken."
Yeah.
But now that sounds like a better integration of everything.
I think that's cool. And then you have like all your phone stuff on the gauge cluster area, so it's all integrated properly, and it's not. Oh, I think that's going to be good.
You know what? That's an actual example of Ben being younger than us. That's like a big. Let me ask you this, okay? Not that it's in the same car, but one is like an analog gauge in front of you is just like your X5.
Yeah.
It's just a thing, a rev gauge and a speedo, and your screen in the middle.
Yeah.
Or you can have a customized digital display right in front of you in your thing.
No, well, it depends. If it's a performance car, it needs to have analog dials.
Okay.
I prefer that. In a daily, it's fine. My personal preference is I like analog dials. I'm in the middle having a screen, which is so if I had analog dials, the Apple CarPlay thing in the middle of the screen, the gauge cluster, and then one in the middle, and then one of those little twisty wheels in the middle, so I haven't got to do actual touch screen. That's perfect.
I think the old BMW iDrive stuff, not the original one, the second gen one, that was actually one of the best.
Like the twin twins, your 7 Series.
The CIC. Yeah, no, not in the 7 Series. That is one of the worst.
Is that the one that I had
early iDrive? It's garbage.
The one where it's like a grid of four and you have to push up or down it.
Yeah, that's horrible because it's not intuitive. The input you put in, the natural input that you put in is not what you get back from it. Yeah. Whereas the second version of that, it'll feel dated now, but it just works.
Your E92 one.
Yeah, it's just scrolling through. It all just works exactly how you imagine it. And again, it's going to be dated now, but it's just nice.
There is a company, I don't know where they are, but they make a full LED, full digital dash change for E46s.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. I absolutely despise how it looks. Mm. And I think mainly the reason I don't like it is because they copy the newer Mustang, S550 Mustang. They have like it's weird, like there's two kind of round gauges and then the revs and speed increases on a bar on the side. It's horrible. Mm. If you look at the inside of an E46 and then see that screen, it doesn't match at all. Mm. But because lots of trendy Instagram type people are like, whoa, sick, bro, you can make it so modern. No, it looks like shit. What are you talking about?
I've seen it in E92s and I didn't mind it. I don't think it's also not that cheap.
No.
Or that easy to do. So I don't know. It's a modern car thing.
I'd like to try the Apple CarPlay though. I'd like to see what that's like.
Yeah. The thing is,
it's only going to be in really new stuff.
So. Well, so it's new Aston Martins, which I think that suits Aston Martins, like long Grand Tourers, all luxurious inside. Well, that's nice.
It would be they have to do a check on what percentage of their users use iPhones versus Android. Mm.
Surely it's Android as well.
I would assume you still have Android Auto in the middle, and then you have obviously the OEM software, which I'm sure is fine. But the actual taking over every screen, that will be only Apple, I believe.
I will say I refer to that kind of infotainment as CarPlay, which is Apple.
Same. Yeah,
even though I'm using Android Auto because it's better.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Better, interesting concept.
Yeah.
I have no stake in a phone fight. I don't care either. But the Android one is awful. I hate it to use.
It's the same.
It's not. It's not at all. It's absolutely not.
But how would you know? You haven't got an Android.
I don't like
because
the font.
Sophie has an Android, and that's what I use in her bath.
The font is tough.
It's not even the font.
That's all I care about, and it doesn't. Well, not what I care about. On the Android one, that's what I can see when I look at it. I hate the font.
You're wrong. You're a simpleton.
Simpleton. Oh, Android. I hate that. I'm so unique. You are a sheep.
I've got the 17th Apple iPhone.
Everyone buys it because it works.
I have to pay for more storage because I can't get photos in my phone. Is that not true? Everyone I know who has an iPhone goes, sorry, have to delete something. I can't call you right now. I have to delete a photo.
But when you did call me yesterday, I could barely hear you because it was like you were talking to me for a jam jar.
That's also kind of true. Right, let's leave the phone fight alone.
Angrily staring at me.
It's one of the easiest ways to roll Will up. You care a little bit more. It doesn't work with me because I just don't care.
That's fair. Go on, Will. Okay. Jump on the old Google right now and give us some more things to talk about.
Oh, sorry, Safari.
Don't use Safari, actually.
What do you use then? Google Chrome.
Right, what have we
on
got
your
anecdotes?
Simpleton mobile. What have we got in anecdotes? I think we're all out on news. Let me scroll to the top of our anecdotes.
Oh, who's she? What's she up to?
We've got first since the last podcast is Benjamin with width restrictions.
Oh my God.
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, okay. So we went to Santa Pod last week. The evening we filmed the last podcast, we drove up there. Was that what we did? On the way up there, we went for a Nando's. That's the gang. We thought, let's all go eat together.
You went to Beaconsfield.
I followed Will. Yeah. Will was in the Jag, so Will disappeared quite quickly. I ended up through the back end of Slough and then in some country lanes. There was a width restriction, which I could barely fit my left leg through.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to... This is a perfectly normal size width restriction.
No, this is a tight one.
No, I feel like that's...
I drove through that the other day in the Range Rover. It's 6x6.
No. I disagree. Hang on. We got to Beaconsfield. I got out of the car. I was looking at my wheels to check I hadn't scratched them, which I hadn't, luckily. And Will said to me, oh, I know which way you went. Yeah, that one's really tight. Did you not say that?
No, I said it's a width restriction, but it's the same size. It's 6x6.
It feels tight.
It was tight.
Because it's got a curb up above it. So if you mess it up... You're messing
it up. I think the reason it feels tight is because it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not in a town. Like usually you're in a town, okay, you kind of expect it, and there's someone else next to you doing one as well.
It's just a back road.
Is just a 60 country lane with a width restriction on it.
My question is, why is it there?
I'd love to know.
Because the thing is, right, I understand. Speed bumps, I'm with you. in a residential street, I don't want people doing like pools up and down the street where like kids are playing. That's not okay. Okay. But on a country lane, no one's around. Why that?
I think it's because it's quite a busy road.
But a speed bump would slow me down enough. I don't need to go. I went through that.
You could, if you imagine you're in a Range Rover or something, you would fly over a speed bump.
But maybe.
I know.
But maybe.
Not that I do that.
But you're slowing down to like 30 to go over it.
No.
Yes, of course you are.
Not in a normal height car, you can fly over a speed bump.
Also, NPCs don't care. They're driving.
But you show an NPC a width restriction.
Yeah, and they're going to get scared shitless.
But why am I going 1 mile an hour through it? Why can't it be, okay, thinner, fine. But that thing in the X5 was tight.
One thing I would say about width restrictions is normally, like most of them are the same width. They are. But they normally, it's about either they are a bollard that can make it seem narrower because they're very tall, or they have a piece of curb below, and then they have another piece of, that's what that one is. It's got a curb below it,
a double curb.
Which most tires, if you do hit it, you'll just hit your tire. But then there's a bigger curb above it. It's like some kind of torture machine where it's like if you mess this up,
medieval times.
Oh Lord, you're messing this up. You might do a door in.
Yeah,
you might lose a mirror.
I had to truly lock in for that. It was a tough one. And to be fair, it was probably if you were looked at it from the outside, it probably wasn't actually that tight. But in that car, it's not the best visibility. And I was just going, I felt like I was in a ship. I couldn't see where my wheels were.
Pull her starboard, sire.
I was like looking, like I couldn't see the water. I was just there on the road and I managed to get through it, but I was truly quite upset.
Were you going through with hopes and dreams?
Yeah, literally, yeah. I was pure guesswork.
I've seen, because I used to film around that area before, previous jobs. I've seen many people turn around there.
Turn around?
Like I remember seeing a guy in a Bentley Continental. Maybe fair enough, to be fair. He's probably had 23-inch, £9 million wheels. And he just pulled up, saw it, just turned around.
He said no. Nope.
And just went around. And or people who go so obscenely slow through it. They creep. Most of the time, if you're through it, if you're in it, you're gonna, if you just keep going straight, you're through it.
Do you remember we both got fined in London for that? Because I was in my M3, Will was in his GTR, and we were going through London and there was a width restriction.
Yeah.
But it was, there's a width restriction on the left lane, one in the right lane, but then for the buses, there is a middle part that is, you're not allowed to go through it, it's a bus lane. And it's, buses are allowed to drive through the middle. Yeah. We were driving, I was behind Will, and I think it was a Polo or something.
Yeah.
Basically, someone was so petrified that they stopped in it.
Yeah.
They were inside the width restriction. They went, I'm not going any further. Yeah. That's it. And I think we didn't wait that long. It was 10, 15 seconds. So we both just went through the middle.
Just went through the bus.
Because it was blocked.
Yeah, also, it was much wider.
Harrow Council wasn't happy with that.
Not happy.
They said, you know what, mate? I've taken a photo of that and you're now going to pay me for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was unfortunate.
You got it twice.
I got it twice.
You went there and back.
The first time there was a fair enough reason.
Yeah.
It was, you know, there was someone blocking it. Yeah. So we went around them. And then on the way coming home, that was, I think, 2 a.m. And I was just like, I don't want to have to slow down.
Cameras will be off.
No, I just didn't know there were cameras, if I'm honest.
That's that. Nah.
So I went through. But it was 2 a.m. Also, I wasn't doing 80.
So a bus can fly through at 90.
Yeah.
But I have to go through the, I got to go through the back door.
Is it Lenny? Is it what's called from, is it Harry Potter? It's a shrunken head bus going through the middle of it at 90. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Take it away, Ernie.
Ernie, not Lenny.
So next on the list, Gordon Ramsay LaFerrari.
Yes, this was a story I was just anecdotally telling you guys.
And just then, after the last podcast, actually.
Just after the last one. And then Ben said, I'll save it for the next podcast. I used to do, basically at my school, I went to a very bullshit posh school. I'll admit that now. And it happened to be the same school that Gordon Ramsay's kids went to.
That Gordon Ramsay went to.
He was late. He got held back a few years. Or I'm very old.
Yeah.
No, so, and one of the things is I used to skive out of, on Saturdays, there was Saturday school, and you had to go to like a big assembly type thing. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. But you could get out of doing that if you agreed to show other parents around the school. So they would do this thing where kids would show prospective parents around and be like, it's so lovely here. Yeah, you should send your kids here. And that only took an hour. So you could save yourself an hour and get out of school early.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, I'm doing that. I'll just walk around. But my friend and I probably shouldn't admit this, just used to make things up. We played a game where we'd make facts up as we walk around the school. So we used to walk around and go, you know, this is the library. It was built in 1742 by Mr. Giblets, and his parents would be like, oh my god, it's incredible. And it was a game when you were near one of your mates to try and say something loud enough to try and make them laugh. And the other thing was, if you saw one of the other mates, you'd go, this is my friend Joe's birthday today. Just dumb sort of stuff. Right. But there was at one point, I didn't actually know that Gordon Ramsay's kids went to my school until this happened. I was taking parents on a tour of the school, and a LaFerrari. I heard the in the distance. I was like, what's this guy?
Clear 182 induction.
Oh, that's a K-Tech induction kit. No, I heard a LaFerrari, and then maybe 35 seconds later, just a LaFerrari rolled in. Mm. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I saw it go over towards the car park. Again, this is bad and I shouldn't admit it. I was like, to these two parents, oh, just over there are the sports fields. I'll let you guys go over and just have a look around those. I'll be waiting here when you come back. And I walked off and went and looked around his LaFerrari. And very sheepishly, I have a photo on my phone. I'll see if I can find it. I probably won't be able to, but I looked around it. He was kind of standing there, not looking particularly pleased, as you'd expect. And I can't remember, said something. I was like, this is very nice.
Did you say, can you listen to the Cream podcast?
I went, look! Ben, can I get one? Because you can't get it. I mean, you do resemble Gordon Murray sometimes.
It's wrong.
Lovely. That's what he said. No, yeah. And he was like, yeah, thanks. And then when I walked back, the parents, I struggled. They walked off because I think I'd spent 10 or 15 minutes looking around.
You lost a kid. You lost a prospective.
A prospective parent. And I didn't care. Insane. Couldn't care less because there was a LaFerrari and I was
sick. You got to see it.
I was 16, 17 years old and went, cool.
Fair.
Gordon Ramsay, one of my dream podcast guests, because cool cars and also just be crazy to have.
I don't know if he'd have an. I don't know if I think he might get lost in our podcast.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I think we're too far.
Mm.
I don't. When we start talking about Clio 182s,
yeah. I don't know. He might know.
Ferraris and stuff. He's on. Speaking of though, one of our dreams came true because we were talking about potential podcast guests. You know where this is going.
I don't know where this.
Yes,
is
you
going.
Do. Yes, you do. Because we were saying we'd like Jamiroquai. And we've settled. Well, we said we actually wouldn't settle. That's a joke. We said, you know who else we'd like for Car Nerd is Richard Porter.
Oh, yeah. I thought we did spoke about this.
Spoke about this?
I thought we talked about this.
Oh, maybe
last week because people commented about it.
Sorry. If so, sorry.
Oh, well, the negotiations have been going on further.
Negotiations have been going on. We've said we've been going back and forth pushing for him to bring his Honda Beat. Mm. He said, fine. That was a tough part of negotiation to get through.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have some Beats on the podcast. So that'd be good.
Ooh, that should be very good. Just need to sort a date out that works for all.
And then
he bought his Beat from roughly the area we're in.
Yeah, he's literally rented.
Do you still have your Beat? Is your Beat still around?
That's a good point, actually.
He turns up in your Beat and you go,
hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah, I bought it from a guy who was trying to get rid really quickly.
Yeah, Michael Trevor. Ben, you've put in a light bar.
Oh.
And then an expletive that I cannot say.
Good Lord above. All right, I hope you listen to this podcast, you clown of a human being.
Here we go.
On the way back from Santa Pod,
Ben's just talking to all creamers.
No. We like the creamers, but if you are this man in this Defender, you are a clown, and I need to know.
Defender and a light bar.
I was driving back from Santa Pod. I was on the M4. It's quite busy. I'm overtaking in the outside lane. Your standard motorway activities. I see it wasn't gold. It was a beigey brown coloured Defender.
Okay, no, that's
with black wheels. With coming up the outside lane at Mach 1 million, and I see a flashing light bar on top, like a policeman. So I'm like, oh, okay, what's that? But it was yellow. Just a bright, not like yellow as in like a headlight, like green yellow colour.
Yeah.
He then pulls up behind everyone and flashing his lights. All these people in cars go, oh, the police are here. Not the police, it's green. This colourblind absolute police. Clown of a human being is just like, I'm overtaken. He's just like inches from my bumper with his flashing light on. He flashed me. Sorry, where have you got to be? What is going on?
What Defender?
Also,
90. New
an
one.
Old one?
No, a new
oh,
one.
Oh, okay.
Of course it's a new
I was going to say, if you're being flashed to move out of the way by an old Defender, you're the problem.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going slowly.
No, because then that would mean you're doing 35. That's the only way a Defender could be like, ooh, move out.
He was just flashing his candlestick headlights at you.
He did that.
It's just the electrics going wrong. He wasn't trying to flash.
Like he owned the road. And I was like, you know what? My ego took over. I was like, nah. Rage filled me. I said, you're not coming past me. I will die before you go past me. And I just sat there, I'll be honest with you. And eventually, I overtook the person. I could have then moved out of the way. I moved out of the way very slowly, just to be annoying. As he did that, he decided that he couldn't wait for me to do that, and very dangerously accelerated as hard as he could around me, passed another car and cut everyone up and undertook me like a clown. So if you think you're so important that you need to put a light bar on your car like a policeman, you're a clown.
But wait, the light bar's white or yellow?
The light bar was like a greeny yellow colour.
That's the thing. When you were saying that, in my head, I fully had an original Defender in my head, like an off-road spec.
No, that was, it was a light bar on top of the... I promise you, anyone thinks that might be some sort of emergency service vehicle, it was not at all. I looked at him as he went past. He was a clown.
Was it like urban spec Defender?
Yeah, modified? Yeah. Absolutely modified. You're just an idiot. What is wrong with you? And you're putting people in danger. No, it wasn't a V8. No. Because he has to drive that to make up for the fact he can't afford a V8.
Do you know what, Ben? That in the long run, you win because he has to deal with a JLR product.
That's fair. I do feel
it won't save him.
Yes,
I'm mildly irked that you didn't get out of the way.
You know what? I actually kind of hear that.
When you got to that part of the story, I was a bit like,
I got out of the way eventually, but I moved out of the lane purposely slowly because I was like, also, no, you can't come up. Come on, me.
Hold on.
No, let's not cut. Ben, don't get nothing gets cut from Ben anymore.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a rant here, and I need to get it out because it enraged me. And sorry, I didn't sit in the lane and block him. That would be dangerous and rude. But I did go purposely merge slowly. But you couldn't wait for that.
Now, did you gesticulate at him as he passed?
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
I looked at him. And he didn't look at me.
So there's all this rage, but actually Ben's listening to Natasha Bedingfield. Yeah. And
then the defender, as he goes past, looks at Ben and Ben goes, toodles.
Let's slow down a little bit, please. Thank you.
It's very rude of you. Okay.
No, I'm not about to have a fight, but at the same time, like, you're a clown.
In reality, though, it's what the guy Ben was talking about a couple of weeks ago in the van. He went, no, sorry. Can we just talk about this, please?
Can we just take a moment?
But what was I doing wrong? I was just driving my car. I wasn't blocking the middle lane or out on the outside lane, and he pulled up three cars behind me, flashing them out of the way, and I didn't like that. That's my rant.
Fair.
That's when it turns out he's one of us.
Again, I do still think it's entirely possible that he was just having electrical faults because it's a Defender, and they are. You know, I'm gonna say, I like the new Defenders. I think they're probably just as big of pieces of shit as all the rest of the JLR products because I've now seen six. I've counted them. Six Defenders with, you know, they have the daylight running lights, the little thing. Six of them with one side is gone. One side is not working.
Nice.
That is a car that has been out for less than 2 years. Are you actually joking me? What a piece of shit.
I'm always surprised how many newer cars I see with bulbs out.
Teslas.
But like LED bulbs.
Teslas and Jaguar Land Rover products with just LED bulbs. China's been doing it for 20 years and I can buy them for 30p and they last.
There'll just be bulbs in cars that just have been in there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And people are like, nah, it just works.
Meanwhile, one JLR product, it's dead.
Oh, then you go and replace the whole light. Oh, that'll be £9,700.
Who is it? Tom Lenther we were talking to about those parts and he said, well, there was someone had a Urus. That was 20
grand. Urus was Matt Armstrong.
It was Matt Armstrong.
I was watching the video. It was like 10 grand a light or something ridiculous.
But then Tom was saying there was something from a new Jag that you can't, that is like 7 grand to replace a headlight on, and it's writing cars off because these are new cars.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we're not paying for that.
And also, there's lots of those lights. It's not like, oh, we'll just replace that light and put it in. You then have to code light in.
Yeah.
You have to tell car, you now have light. This is your light.
Do I need to give 12 volt to that?
Car goes, is my light. Are you sure that's my light?
It's not that simple, mate. We need to give authorization to give that power.
It's not that simple.
So Ben, do you feel a bit more, was that cathartic?
I'm really, really sorry to all the creamers. I've calmed down now. Ooh. I just had to get it out of me.
He might be one. He might be one.
Do you know what? You're very welcome to stop listening.
Is he the anti-creamer of the week?
I don't understand. Do you know what? Actually, you know what? I'm very sorry for my rant. I apologise. If you... I don't often lose my rag.
That's not true.
If you're listening... That is true. Okay. If you're listening and you want to explain yourself why you did that...
You've been affected...
He's not listening. So no one listening in an urban Defender. They're going to their self-tanning... To their fake tanning appointments and heading off to Marbella with bright white teeth. Don't worry about it.
If you've been affected by the things Ben has said in this podcast...
Really sorry.
Feel free to comment... subscribe to Rat Dog.
I want everyone to know that.
Now that's a cause we can get behind.
That is a cause we can get behind because we are at the current recording, 400 subscribers away.
Now the first
from 25k.
The first shout out that we put out on Cream for subscribing to Rat Dog, I took 1,000 or 2,000 of you.
About 2,000 or so.
2,000 of you loyal creamers went out there and subscribed. And you know what? The ones that went out there straight off the bat and subbed, you are our OGs. You're our day ones. But just all we ask, 400 more.
400 again. More. If you have to make another account, if you have to get your nan involved. No, do that. If you have to get your nan involved, your brother, your dad, your sister, friends, if you go to school, get them involved, get your teachers involved. 400 people.
400 people.
If 100 of you get three mates.
MLM, this is now a multi-level marketing scheme. Now, if you get two more subscribers, those two will get four.
And we will get to drive a Murcielago. So, no, but so it's honestly, it's, you know, we just need it to happen.
Same game as before. I'm not telling you, you don't have to subscribe. I am telling you that. Please do that. But just go and watch a video because they're incredibly well produced. They're very, very good.
They build better cars than us.
They really do build good cars. So,
go and have a look. We're desperate right now. Please subscribe to Rant Dog. Do it now.
What have we got? What next?
What else have we got? We've got Lightbar. We've been through. We've got an Instagram link from you. I'm going to have a look at what this is.
Now I'd like you to describe what you're seeing, please. Now,
what I'm seeing here, there's a woman in a pink shirt and she is in front of a Skoda Yeti.
Yeah. Now tell me about that Skoda Yeti. What do you see?
Skoda Yeti has a number plate that says Wugoyum.
And that's a UK number plate.
W60UMM.
A 60 plate, a 2010 Skoda Yeti.
Yep.
Now I'd like you to watch that video again and look at her surroundings.
In the US?
That's in the US of A. This woman has discovered she is perhaps like your... Imagine if you're into automotive stuff on Instagram, you see people who go, well, I just saw this car on the side of the road and this car's important because of this. So sometimes quite interesting. This is a woman in America who's doing the same thing. She just car spots. But what she did was she has spotted, and I think it's in... I can't remember where it is. I can't remember where the plates were. I want to say Maine or just something normal. So middle of nowhere.
New Haven,
which
wherever that is,
I think that might
Northeast US.
Yeah, it's in New England.
Yeah.
She has discovered in the middle of a completely normal suburban street in America a 2010 plate UK registered Skoda Yeti.
Bristol registered.
A Bristol registered Skoda Yeti.
Bristol to the US. Mate,
what are you guys doing out there?
Where is it? What plate? W what?
WU.
That's, WU. I'm gonna find out what that is for you.
So, but the more important thing here, what's a Skoda Yeti doing there?
By law, it can't be there.
It can't be there. America doesn't get Skoda. If they did, they might recognise like a Fabia or something that's related to a Golf that they get. What's a Yeti doing there?
It's right-hand drive. It's got UK just dealer plates on it.
What? I was scrolling through, doing my nightly scroll before bed.
Yeah.
And I stopped on this and I thought, oh, that's kind of weird. As in, oh, what? Someone's just interested in a Yeti. And then I scrolled back and I was like... What
is it there? Someone has said it could be a temporary import for a year.
Yes, which is entirely possible.
Which is impossible, but also bizarre.
But why a Yeti? Why did you bring your Yeti there?
Because it can't be cheap.
No. No. You don't have to pay the full tax because you bring it there on a carne. So you essentially just pay the shipping cost. But why? I just don't get it.
We need to source the owner of the Yeti and you have really to like explain to, yourself.
Really, if anybody knows anything about anything at all, please let us know. What was the name of the Instagram page? Not to go and bombard her with stuff.
Gail's Garage 296.
Just so you can go and see the video, imagine my confusion in stumbling across this organically. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, and all the comments are people going, what the hell? What the heck? I mean, even someone in the US saying that going, why is this?
I woke up the next... It's more just the 10 plate UK plate on it. It's so bizarrely normal.
Yeah, it's just that is...
I can understand bringing...
NPC fodder.
Bringing something over, like a noble.
Yeah.
So something that's like, ooh, a little bit interesting.
If it's Monterey Car Week or something, you might take a car. He goes, I think I'll go to the US and take my Yeti with me.
But in the... Oh, New Haven's...
Yeti spotted in the US.
Connecticut, I think. New Haven, Connecticut. Might be all my US guys. You should know that. I think I'm right.
We'll try and get to the bottom of that. Well, there are reasons, but we need to know the real reasons.
Yeah.
We've got a link, a Stranger Things link from you here.
This is quite funny. So I've been recently watching Stranger Things. I'd never watched it before. And just watching through it, it is... There's some old cars in it.
Yeah.
There's some 80s.
It's 80s, right?
Yeah, 80 spec cars that I find interesting. But there's zero even hint of interesting car.
Mm.
You know, you'll sometimes watch a show, perhaps like you're watching Mobland at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And there's an E92 M3, a 7 Series.
E38.
Someone who likes cars has gone, I want to get some cool cars in here.
Mm.
There's kind of none of that in it. It's just a studio has gone, I need some 80s cars.
Yeah.
Some are nicer, some are not so nice. But there is a scene, and it is in, I've put the link in because it's funny. We'll put the link in if we remember. You can find it on YouTube by just searching Stranger Things supermarket scene, I believe. They drive an old Ford or Lincoln wagon.
Mm.
And it's, they go to a supermarket, break in for some reason. But they, the character, bear in mind, there is upwards of 8 children in the back of this car.
Oh, okay.
Hits one of the dirtiest handbrake turn 180 skids I have seen, not just in a movie, but in life, in all of car YouTube, in all of anything. The entry speed must have been 50 or 60 mile an hour. It looked like the E55 doing donuts.
You showed me it. I wasn't sure what to expect. And what I saw was,
it is absolutely incredible.
It was almost that the stunt driver didn't quite understand the assignment.
No,
it was the Dumbledore said calmly type thing. It was what you need to do is just drive a car and just pull up outside the supermarket calmly.
Yep.
Or parallel park, whatever it was.
Just pull up because, you know, you are breaking into a store at night.
Yeah.
But you don't want to attract too much attention.
Yeah,
just pull up. Meanwhile, entry speed at 50 miles an hour, over 180 degrees. Yeah. It spins. It's incredible.
A big flick in. I mean, like, it's got hydraulic handbrake vibes.
Yeah.
It's got full stuntman went, right, this is my one thing in this movie, in this series. I'm going to make it big.
The best thing as well is that there is zero... There's no context to it.
Yeah.
The scene starts. It's maybe a 1.5 to 2 second clip of a mean 180, and then it just cuts to them inside the store.
In real life, they would have gone, Jesus Christ, mate.
Hello, mate. That was a.
You're feeling all right, didn't you?
That was a nice one.
That was nice. Do that again. Okay, yeah, I'll record it.
But I thought I would I would use it to tee up for the creamers. What are your favourite automotive moments, like where you go, oh, cool, car person did that? In a otherwise non-car related production. Because there's always some of that. There's sometimes, you see it all the time, there's just Midsummer like Murders and then someone's pulling up in a 240Z that's got, Watanabe like wheels.
The Better Call Saul Evo, we've talked about that before. But in that vein, basically, just where you go, ooh, where's that come from?
Misplaced automotive enjoyment.
Well, I mean, we would also like, if you know the person, you are the person, we do have some production peoples.
Yeah.
We asked a guy on the podcast and he quite normally said, no, I'm not really up for that. I'm just a man. I would like to continue my life. But he does some of the car chases for Mobland.
Yeah.
He did those and he does lots of the filming for it and Fast and Furious and whatever else. So if you do that, we would quite like to have someone on the podcast at some point.
Just talk about.
Who can tell us how these things go.
Mm.
So if that's you, get at us.
Yeah, go watch that dirtiest 180 I've ever seen.
It is mental. I've put in here for sales stickers in window. And obviously you don't see this very often, but I was driving along the other day and I just saw someone had moved their car from the driveway onto like an outside lawn right by the road with a for sale sign in. I need to know how many people in the last 20 years, 10 years, have sold a car via this method.
I think the exact same thing every single time I see it.
Because there is so... I think it was like a green CRV or something. But it's like the amount of people that might drive past that road and go, you know what? I am after a green CRV.
The thing is, like back in the day, it makes sense. You're confined to your local area unless you get your Auto Trader magazine or like before internet. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You find a local car, cool, it's for sale in my budget, fine. But even the sort of people that now would, like, that knew that time where you go out and buy a car like that, they have access to the internet.
Yeah.
So they know they're just going to go and get a better car.
Yeah. It's like habit or something or where they're like, no, I've sold stuff like that before, but they must get nothing.
But the other thing is sometimes I see that for sale window sticker in an Auto Trader or eBay ad. Mm. So they've put that up in the car, then they've put it on Auto Trader or eBay or Facebook.
Yeah, if it's in multiple places, maybe. But
then why is do you think you're just going to get a diamond in the rough? Some person walking past goes, I'm in the market for one of those. I haven't checked online anywhere. I'm going to have that one.
But that's
that
the one I've perfect. This is the one I've been looking for. Maybe we should do that once for a video where it's a no mobile phone, no internet car buying challenge.
I like the idea of that. Because
we either have to ask just random people if we buy their car or find a car for sale.
I quite like that. It's quite funny. We might have to do that.
The only thing, and lots of the cars I've seen, like they are normally quite normal.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting. But
that's why I always find it odd that it's never like some old boy trying to sell a classic car because you think, oh, do you know what? then you might get, there'll be someone else go, oh, yeah, that's a Capri.
Yeah.
I've seen all the ones for sale, but I didn't know about that one. But it's normally, it's just a Fiesta.
But the, I always think that as well, because it's the person lists it for sale,
yeah,
puts a sticker on the window, but there's no, I can't remember my point.
Fair enough.
I was halfway through it and thought, I can't remember what
that's
I was
exactly
about.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what they do when they go. They put it in and go, why have I done that?
What was I talking about?
But it's, you know, you see some of them, they just say for sale.
Yeah.
So you have all the information you have
is the car.
Yeah. But in some of them, will put information, but it'll be very brief. It'll be like, hey, it's a car for sale. It's a Vauxhall Corsa.
Four miles.
I think I knew that already. If I got to the car and gone, I wonder what that is. Oh, it's a Corsa. Oh, I'll buy it.
That's the one.
Oh, I'll buy it. But then they have a little description and then like a phone number to ring. Yeah, if you have ever bought, probably more interesting, a car that you've just randomly seen, yeah, just let us know what there is. And if you are still doing that, maybe there's some creamers out there that do that.
Maybe there is a subsection of the market that just lives off grid.
Maybe that's where the bargains are.
Thousands of cars being sold every day, just people walking up to things.
I want to do it with like a Bugatti or something and just see what happens. You just put a Bugatti on
the price in really cheap.
For sale, 25 grand a month. Next up here, we got something from Edwin. This is a E46 for sale. I think I know where this is going. This is this way.
Yes. We talked a few weeks ago about UK car scene, because there was a video of an E46, I was going to say drifting around a roundabout. That would be putting it, you know, heavily.
Yep.
It attempted to do a skid, hit the inside of the roundabout, rolled over.
Yep.
Everyone laughed.
Everyone loved that.
I was scrolling through my Facebook, which is, I actually went through do you know how many groups you're in on Facebook?
Too many.
I'm in 286 groups on Facebook. And I was scrolling through one of mine and it was an E46 braking group. And lo and behold, the same car that rolled over at the roundabout is now up for braking. I just thought it was funny. That's immediately someone went, that's it for me.
He's been humiliated into...
He hung up his clogs. He said, you know...
This is it.
That's it for me.
This is it. I've peaked.
Or
he lived long enough to become the villain.
Yeah. Or he's gone, I need to finance an M140i.
Yeah.
That's how I need to move up.
It's time to open diff into a hedge, I reckon.
But so the comments on that post are really quite funny, because even the guy who's breaking it says, I'm not the guy who rolled it. I'm just bought it to break. Please shut up.
Okay, so it's not the
driver. It's not the driver. Because all of the comments.
So the driver just got rid.
He just said, get it out of here.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Fair. I mean, it is a rough looking automobile.
It's not great.
It really isn't great.
Yeah.
The delivery is rough and the spoiler is tough. God.
Oh, I love, what's Green Eggs and Ham? Who writes those? Dr. Seuss? No.
Dr. Seuss?
Is that,
Roald Dahl.
Yeah, that's the one. No, you sound like a Dr. Seuss character there.
Your next piece here, Benjamin, is Asda Pay at Pump, and then you've added in here, unbelievable
in capitals,
not quite in capitals.
Okay. Well, it is unbelievably good. Now, I don't use Pay at Pump very much.
Okay.
I like to go and speak to them.
I know where this is going to go. Yeah.
The nice people, and I thought I'll do Pay at Pump. I've done it at Tesco before, and it's fine. But you got, do you want a club card? You got to put the card in, type in your PIN. Asda, you pull up, you tap your card, it goes, yep, cool, straight away. You fuel up, you're done instantly. It is the most seamless.
Is this a sponsored section?
No, I don't. Do you know what? Asda.
For variety, Morrison's does the same.
But what's different? I never use
it because you haven't got
you can tap your card.
You just tap it.
Oh, and you don't have to put it in the machine?
You don't got to put it in. It doesn't go, oh, have you brought your loyalty card with you?
Yeah, and also, it's so quick. The Tesco one's like, loading. Oh, I think that's all right. Yeah, and then you take the card out, it goes, fires up. Asda one, tap within 10 seconds. Not even that, within 3 seconds it's going.
I do think that sometimes. Why are petrol stations, why have they been left behind technologically?
Why aren't they open 24/7?
It's automatic. And also, why is it that I have to wait for someone inside to go, you look like a paying customer, I'll let you turn that pump on.
Yes, the guy.
Just let me, if I can use a pay at pump, you're not needed to do that.
The business I think you would gain from being open 24/7 surely makes up for the one scrot bag that will steal the tank of fuel
so
from you.
This specific Asda I used to go to because I like filling up there, because it was like a drive-through petrol station. It wasn't like a normal petrol station where you walk in and everything. Essentially, you pull up, as you do normal fuel, they approve it. Mm-hmm. And then you drive through, effectively like a McDonald's drive-through, open the window, tap your card to the lady who sits in like this little booth, and then you leave.
That's really? What the Asda in Slough is like that.
And that's what that, this is the one I used to go to. Never all the time. I used to enjoy it. Mm. And I read on a local Facebook forum
crazy
that the ladies from Asda were being moved out of the booth. I thought that was quite sad because a lot of them were there for a long time and they now they've got to go work in the shop.
Ben, you are, life is life.
Hang on, that happens, right? I thought, you know what? You're automating it, the future, okay? I thought it's going to be terrible, like the Tesco ones. Unbelievable.
Are you're pleased that they lost their jobs?
I think they still have them.
Get okay. rid of the old women.
No, because I'm sure they're still working very hard elsewhere. Right,
but would you rather have that beautiful, slick operation you just performed purely by yourself? I have the same view about this about shops as well. The less I can speak to a human being, the better. Fair. I am faster.
I'm better.
I'm just better. And the petrol station should be the same, but you don't care about the old people?
No, I was saying originally I was sad that they weren't there because they were really nice and I liked, yeah. They used to smile when you went through and it was just quite a wholesome experience. Also, still quicker because you get out of the car, you fill your car up and then as you're driving off, you just quickly stop and tap your card.
A few years ago, this is probably actually almost 10 years ago, Shell did a thing for a while where for like a period of the day that they would fill up for you.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And you got a key ring.
Crazy. We are the oldest humans on earth, the younger, the this age.
But no, it happened to me in London. I did
600 keychains. Yeah,
it was like between 10 and 11 in the morning or so. They probably picked like a relatively not busy time or whatever. And I pulled up and the guy just walked up. He's like, I'll fill that up for you.
I was like, all right, sure. Okay.
But part of me was like, what if, now I'm quite precise with my fuel. I like to know what I'm putting in. If I say 40 quid,
turn around, he's putting water in it. No!
He's putting diesel in it, or you know, petrol. But he's gone to like 42. I'm like, well, I didn't ask for that.
Well, you pay me the other 2 quid, mate.
Yeah, sorry, that free, is it? Does it come with a lump of gold in the back, does it? I think fuel is being left behind here.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all. I don't like the person filling up.
Someone else filling. I don't like it.
No, I feel like feels, I feel. Yeah, I feel. No, I feel weird. I feel like I've. Yeah. I feel like I look. Come across like I think I'm better than you.
Yeah. No.
It feels weird. It's like.
Also,
what do you do?
Exactly. What do you do in that time? Do you just sit and just stare?
You can't go and pay.
No.
She's filling it up.
Yeah. Also, what do you do? How awkward is it for them? Because I'm watching them in the mirror. Yeah. I'm going. Just looking up.
Still.
It's like when you go to when you're in a restaurant.
Giving them tips.
When you're
you got to put that in there. You should put that. Yeah. And then pull the trigger. Yeah. There you go. 100%. That works.
You know when you're in a restaurant, you had a conversation with the people at the table with you, yeah. And then the waiter comes over and takes all the empty plates away,
and it just gets talking.
A bit. Everyone stops talking. It's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
It's like that. What am I going to do? Also, it's not an F1 pit stop. I'd have to pull in. The man fills me up. I got to drive straight off.
Faster. Yeah. 30 seconds.
But I just thought I'd share that with the creamers. If anyone watching has experienced an Asda pay at pump,
crazy. Also,
just amazing.
Asda's what, Walmart in America? So
not,
I wonder if
not anymore.
Oh, not anymore.
I think it was for a while. No, okay. I don't think anymore.
I was going to say, I wonder if Walmart's the same. Maybe that's why it's come over.
Yeah,
but isn't America you?
Something you pay before you fill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
pay.
Crazy. Europe as well. Really? Well, Belgium.
Now that's fine.
Oh, that confused the living daylights out of me. Well, it makes no sense.
But it's fine if you're like go, oh, okay, I need 40 quid in there. That's fine. That makes sense. Okay, yeah.
But if I want 40,
yeah. So they have another pay at pump kind of on the way to work. I sometimes go to is it's fully automated. No one's there. It's 24 hours a day. And that one, you literally say, it's like America. You say that you pay first. So it's like, I want 40 quid. That's fine. But if I want a full tank, I don't know whether the petrol price is going to be 120 quid, 100 quid that day. So
we don't lose it. You get it back, but it's still.
That's what I mean. I can't ever get 100% full tank.
What?
Yeah, because you pay. Oh, wait, they refund it?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah, you don't. If you go, say, 200 quid on pump one and you put 5 quid, they go, that's the game's the game, mate.
It gets passed on to the next person.
Oh, that's fine then.
€3 of free fuel.
But it just makes it all longer.
So that means then if you want a full tank of fuel, you just say, it's like 100 quid, you just say to them, I put £500 in it. And then when it stops, they refund you the rest.
Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Put £1 million on 8.
I'm playing the lottery.
Petrol station? Whoa! It's been 34,000 litres in this car.
Yeah, contactless, please.
Eurocar parts queues. I put this in at the weekend, I think. Why is it that when you go to Eurocar parts...
What is Eurocar parts for our foreign...
Eurocar parts for our is a... It's the only real place you can actually go to buy car parts in the UK. There are small ones. There's GSF and there's MDCs, like motor discount centres and whatever else. But Eurocar parts tends to have a fair amount. You can order online and you can go and collect. And that's exactly what I did. I paid online to go and collect. And then I went in there. And then normally it's like a box room.
Yep, it's just
as part of a massive warehouse. And then I went in there.
Potentially one of the quietest places on earth.
Yeah.
A Eurocar parts waiting room line, silent.
Yeah. But I think five people work for Eurocar parts.
Across the country.
And they are all spread across the thousands of stores that they have. And they have so many shifts to do.
Yeah.
This was great because I was waiting in line. There were four people in front of me and three behind me. So this was a great... A man came in behind me. I didn't even turn around. I couldn't be bothered. I heard the door open. He went, Jesus Christ. And then the door shut. And he didn't...
Also, you know, he was there to buy WD-40.
Yeah,
he was like, oh, I'm not dealing with this.
And the thing is, 9 times out of 10, you need to be there.
Yeah.
You're going to pick it up, therefore, like, otherwise you'd order it or whatever. You're in there in an emergency.
Also, yeah, it's one of, Eurocarpus is usually one of your last resorts. Yeah. It's like, I need this part today.
I've messed something up. I need to get this.
Yeah.
And the guy at the front was just constantly saying, oh, can I have, I need a brake disc for this. And then the guy would search for 5 minutes and go, oh, no. Oh, yeah, we got that one. Yeah, it's this much. He goes, can you do me a discount? And he go, no, I could do this. He went, okay, have you got this? And you just go through this list. I'm like, mate, just please.
Just go online.
Read the room.
Just go online. You've
got a queue of 37 people going out the door here.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Also, I literally want to go up to there and go, this is my order number.
Here's a number. Give.
Go and get it. The worst thing is, there was a man, the worst man at the computer dealing with all the orders. I don't know how it works. It seemed slow, but he might be going as fast as physically possible. There was a man just standing there.
Supervising?
No, he wasn't supervising. Maybe he was training or something, or he was only qualified to collect or something. I don't know. And he was just stood there, waiting for the man on the computer to say, yeah, you can go and get this.
That's great.
And then he would go off and collect something. But sometimes the man on the computer would go off and collect things. I need to know what the dynamic is. Like, what's the workflow?
I'm allowed to do both, but you're not trained yet. So you have to watch me do both.
I could see he kind of looked awkward.
Yeah.
In a way, he was a bit like, I can't. Maybe he couldn't, like physically can't. Maybe there's a login or whatever.
He's been barred.
But I was a bit like, oh, please. There's like 9 of us in here and we all want something. Just let us out. Also, the stuff's here. Most of us have made the order. Yeah. There's something, this odd feeling around a Eurocar parts waiting area that you don't get in any other shop.
Yeah, it is completely unique. Yeah. If you're an abroad listener and you come to the UK, just you know, as a day out, just go and order something from Eurocar parts.
Like sort of Saturday, midday, or like middle of the week. Like Saturdays are particularly busy.
It also has almost like a clinical feel. Yeah. Like like you're in a hospital waiting room, waiting to go and get something.
It's a busy doctor's.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Very bizarre. I've always thought about it when I'm in one, but when I was in there, I think I waited 25 minutes in this queue.
Also, so English.
Yeah.
The line is perfect. There's one in Basingstoke near here that I've been to a few times that the counter, the door is a direct line to the counter.
Yeah.
But then it's not actually a box. It's quite a big rectangle. So the actual Eurocar parts goes off, I don't know, 20 meters to the left. But instinctively, and I've been in multiple times, everyone knows you do not make the line from the counter to the door. It goes instantly left around the back corners of the thing and back around. And I've been in like a 10 or 15 person line there. It's so English. Everyone in silence. Everyone goes, well, just my turn to wait in the line.
Another day. But I want to know why tech hasn't caught up with your... Like, if you go to like a Screwfix or something,
you've
got a touch screen, you go and put your order in, and you just hang around.
You check in. You check in, and it goes, someone's going to bring it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, done.
Beavis will have your order. reference no one will understand.
No, we used to explain when you go and pick up your Screwfix order, you put your number in and you put in a name for people to call, as in when to get your attention. And so the game would be to put in random names for each other to have to deal with when they go, is there a Beavis? Or someone will go, what is the name of the order under? You'd have to say Eggles or something. And it's quite funny.
It's quite tough to... It's a difficult one to keep a straight face.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyway, Ben, you've put in here Ford GT40.
I saw, I don't know what it was.
Is that the one with the 5-litre twin turbocharged V8?
Mark 1.
I don't know.
But that's, yeah,
actually, honestly.
But it isn't.
Okay. Yeah. So I was driving through the great city of Bristol.
Oh, Ben's favourite.
The centre. On the weekend.
The centre?
The centre.
Oh, sorry. I
just thought you'd drop in a little bit of information. Midway.
Carry on. GT40.
Uh-oh. Ben's done.
Oh, no. So Ben, all right, bring it back.
Ooh, okay. I was driving through the centre of Bristol. And I saw a, I need a handheld, I don't know what it was. Okay, so it was a Ford GT. I don't understand the generation.
Very old. An old.
The old boy.
Yeah.
And he was in the orange and the blue livery.
Golf livery.
What is that?
He's going to be a replica.
Damn it.
Basically, we've talked about this before.
9 times out.
We've talked
about the man looked very posh.
When you see an AC Cobra or a Ford GT40, nine times out of ten, you can bank on the fact that there is going to be a replica. There are very good replicas. So we were actually talking to Tom Lenthal about this.
Yeah.
They're coming to Shedfest. Yep. Where the people who, Ford, Shelby, Ford has sold, can't remember what it was, sorry. It was like Ford has sold the rights to Shelby sold the rights to someone else to make GT40s.
Yeah.
So this is like the closest you can get to an actual real recreation.
Yeah.
And they're like $500,000. So you're for a replica, you can spend $500,000. You can spend $100,000.
Yeah.
But anywhere in between. So there are average ones and very good ones.
If it was real, how much that?
I think for like a real, millions, real one, surely. It's multiple millions. One of the like Le Mans style one, they're like 10, 20, 30 type thing.
There's different versions of that. I don't know much about the GT40.
Mark, the replicas that you see. Mark, sorry, just want to shout out my mate Mark quickly. The original ones, like the ones that won the first, like Ford versus Ferrari, you rarely see replicas of those on the road. That's with the twin lights at the back, like the
sort of sloped.
Those they're, you don't really tend to see those.
Aren't there Mark 1 and Mark 2 of that
of
gen?
The gen?
Yeah.
The Mark 2, which is the round light ones, those are what you see replicas of.
They're
a lot.
The ones that people, if you think of GT40, that's probably what you're thinking
it's
of.
It's that guy. So I'm going to assume.
I feel like if he's driving it through the centre of a city on a Saturday, probably not a real one. Well, but equally, he did look like a bread man.
Okay.
He
was a baker.
For some context, that's what we say for people that are rich.
Yes. He looked like he had lots of money because he looked like a very posh guy. But I don't know.
Now, Ben.
Yes.
I'm going to keep it completely real with you.
Yeah.
You know how much this infuriates us when you bring us car things and you don't get a plate number or you don't get us enough.
I was driving.
Did you get a picture?
No, I was driving. Opposite.
Did you have a passenger?
Ben.
My girlfriend was there. She was talking. And I went, what's that?
Forevermore now, I will be thinking about this and we'll never be able to work out whether it's real or not. The fact that it's got a golf livery tells me, again, it's a replica.
I'm going to call replica on it.
Yeah. What would the number be on it if it was... There was a number
on
the side.
Did it have a number on the side? Yeah. I'm going to say it's a replica.
I think it had the number 40 on the side, which would also...
That would make sense.
Yeah, I'm going to say replica. It's one of the few... GT40s and Cobras are one of the two only cars that... If it's a replica, people don't care.
No, exactly. It's fine. It's
completely pulled up in a replica Lamborghini. I guess because they're meant to be very honest versions of them.
Yeah.
And people are actually making... But yeah. No one really cares if it's a GT40 replica or a Cobra replica. They just say, wow, that's a Shelby Cobra.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
The registration is V8 Fab. I've got the car here. Photo was taken on... Hold on, let me double check. This photo was taken when was this? You won't show me. Hold on, sorry.
How can you?
Lloyd's Amphitheatre, Bristol, at Q's Car Club. Golf GT40. Was it that car? It has the number 6 down the middle of it.
I feel like it looked older than that.
Did it? Well, that's not possible, really.
Sorry, did you see a Ford Model T?
No, it didn't look like because that looks.
T, but it had a golf livery on it.
Yeah, that one that Ken Miles drove. Yeah, yeah, the Willys Jeep,
the horse and cart one. Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know.
That is a. It was registered in 2011, so I'm going to assume is a replica.
By deduction, I mean it's in the same area, looking the same. It's probably the same car.
The power of deduction, dear boy.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thought it was interesting.
Did you like it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was excited to see it.
Yeah.
You know what?
To see.
A GT40 is especially one of those, even a replica, triggers a childhood part of my brain.
Mm.
The grown-up me goes, replica, don't care. I actually know that it's powered by an engine, usually a Ford engine that's actually making 300 horsepower, which of course is going to be quick in that car. I'm not trying to say it's not, but it's not that impressive.
Yeah.
But then the part of the child goes, this is a GT40.
I don't like it when they have lots of replicas of both. I think it's mainly a Shelby Cobra or an AC Cobra replica thing where they have the engine. It'd be is it 427?
427, 351.
But then they have a totally different engine in it.
Yeah.
I don't think that is, that's not acceptable. You can't say have on the side. I don't understand it enough to maybe, I might be wrong, that you have that thing that says, oh, this is a 427.
But it's not.
But it's got a V6 in it or some different V8 or a Chevy 57 or whatever. Yeah. I think that's that. From what I've seen, I remember my dad still really wants a Cobra, but the prices, they always really depend on what engine you go for.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you get a cheap one, you're gonna get a very basic,
a Chevy 350 that makes 200 horsepower, and it just looks the part. But the thing is, for most people, the sort of people that are buying AC Cobra replicas, they don't care. They're not there to do 0-60 times.
It makes the noise. It does the look.
It makes a bobbity noise, and it make and 200 horsepower feels plenty quick enough compared to their Rover SD1 that they've had for the last 40 years.
I see them. I do see them quite well, and especially now when now the sun's out.
Yeah, yeah.
People are getting the Cobras out.
I saw a dark green one for sale. I showed it to you the other day. That's that's cool.
Maybe we build a Cobra.
Oh man, can we build a Cobra with a 2J?
Wow.
Let's build a Cobra. Let's build a kit car. I like that.
I'd love the ones you actually buy and build.
I'm gonna say no hate to Caterham, but I don't like cars with wheels that stick out the body. If that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would open. Not open
it's
wheel.
Not open wheel.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I like cars with covered bodies because a car with a covered body is a road car.
It looks like a car.
A car with open wheels is a race car, and I can't drive it. Therefore, I don't like it.
Okay.
So an AC Cobra replica that tickles my pickle.
Okay.
What we got next?
Interesting. From you, we've got one brand, three models, same year.
This, I saw this on the Smoking Tire podcast, Matt Farah.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite a famous question that he does. And I thought it would be kind of interesting. Maybe not one. Let's not steal it for our guests. But he asks, you have to pick one model with three different cars. So it has to be, all the cars have to be from the same manufacturer.
Shit.
From one specific year. And you must choose, and they must do your, I think the three options are, one is a sports car / weekend car, one is a sedan luxury type guy, and one is a 4x4 off-roader or a, you know, more practical car. And I thought that's a really interesting question because there is an infinite amount of combinations of quite cool cars you can choose for different years.
So my mind's immediately gone to BMW.
Of course, so is mine.
Because the crossover is, I thought a Lamborghini. I was like, I could have a Murcielago and a Gallardo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have.
So I was,
but there's no third car.
No, because I was thinking there's some way you struggle a little bit with a range. But I was also thinking if you just sorry Matt, just moving your formula around a bit. If you just choose the third car for a little bit of a different. So one of the things I thought was very early Cayenne, which is kind of hard, but like a Turbo SE type thing, a 996 GT2, and then like a 996. Or like a Boxster as your base thing. You could use that. But that's not what I was thinking. I can't actually remember what I was thinking. But Ben, do you have any thoughts? Oh, Ben, checking the clock. Please cut to that.
Really? Please don't do that. No, I don't actually know where to begin with BMW, that sort of thing.
I was trying to figure out BMW, like crossover years of things that...
So it's
like
all from the same year.
CSL and an M5. I don't actually think they do crossover.
2001 is, a lot of people say, was the best year of BMW because you could get an E46 M3, a 750iL E38. You could get an E39 M5 and you could get the beginning of an X5.
Okay.
So
you're getting a poor X5 at that stage, at that juncture.
You're not getting a...
01, you're getting Chocolatier's gearbox. Although you get some V8 ones.
Yeah, anyway. You get, but 4.4.
Okay. But I don't like early X5, so I'd have to rule that out.
How about this? Perhaps the creamers go away and think. They put some in the comments.
I've got mine.
Oh, you forgot yours.
It's 20... I would say it's 2009.
BMW?
It's an E92 M3.
An F10?
It's an E60 M5.
Oh, an E60, not an F10?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the great thing with the E92 M3. The crossover was absolutely stupendous.
Yeah, you got good.
You could get a nice late E92 M3, 2013.
Yeah.
And you could get yourself an F10 M5.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You could have them both.
But you're going E60.
I'm going to...
That's interesting.
Now you said that, I'm going F10 M5. I'm going to have a 2013 LE500 M3. Nice late one. And then I'm going to have an F10 M5. Which does mean getting an early F10 M5.
Which is true. You don't get your
2013.
Bits.
No, I think that is possible. It's a really early F10 M5, but that's fine.
What's your 4x4?
And then it will be an X5. I think that might even be X5 M territory, which I know is scumbag car.
But also,
look, if I'm open to all cars available,
you've chosen your year. Here we go.
Nope, that's it.
Okay, great.
I was going to say X6, but
Ben, how about this? How about you give us the first car, and we'll find you some options.
Pick a year on it. Yeah, a car with a year.
Because
what is the option? Sorry, the three cars.
Do you know what one of mine? When I was thinking about this, I remember what it was, and I know it's a bit me. It's a bit wank. But like 93, 94 Honda, so I can have a beat. I can have an NSXR. And then I can just have some like legend, like a Honda, like a big boy legend to just roll around in.
That's not bad.
That's cool to me.
So what about, I don't know enough about American cars, but like some kind of Hellcat Hellcat, a Viper.
Like a Durango and
Hellcat,
a
Viper and a something like you.
Trackhawk.
Larry ass.
But that's
trio.
That's a cool question. Yeah. That's something that, you know, props.
It bothers me.
What?
It just bothers me because I think about it and I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, you have to wait.
Oh, I can't have that.
Let's have a think and we'll come back next week or perhaps the week after and we will have an answer definitively.
Give us your trios.
Everyone go home, do your homework, have a think.
Creamers unite.
Yeah. We've just gone through our list of things to talk about. We still got stuff to go, so
we're waffling, we really are.
We'll move a little bit quicker, but this might be a longer episode.
Right, there is an Instagram link from here from you, a cursed image I have now got on my phone.
That is a Evo, so an Evo 1 has come up for sale that I quite like the idea of, so I've been doing my research into Evo 1s, and while doing research, I found a stretch limo Evo 1.
Why?
It's a great question.
I want to take it rallying.
I want exactly that. That's what I was thinking. I want a full livery, but it's a normal Evo livery, but it's just stretched across the whole thing.
Yeah.
Tommy
Mackinnon.
The whole way across. So yeah, it's an Evo 1. I think it's out in Malaysia because they have lots of the Protons there, which are based on the Evo. Okay. But it is a actual stretch limo Evo, I believe.
I mean, the wire is still up in the air. Yeah. It's not the nicest cruising engine to have, is it?
No. I saw it and thought, what the hell is that doing?
Also, I could see an exhaust at the back.
Yeah.
So a hell of a Jap can. Yeah.
The Japist can.
Yeah, like a full titanium system going that length. Yeah. I need to hear it.
Also, the cost on that would be crazy.
Yeah, so I exhaust. It's 28 feet long.
We will, Deck, if you're listening, who's editing this podcast, please message me and I will get you that photo. This one the creamers cannot not see.
If not, here it is.
Zoom on that.
Have a look. Just pinch and zoom.
There we go.
Moving on. We've got a message from you here. This is an interesting one when I read this. Red Light Running in the Day.
Which is an
amazing song title.
It's a great song title.
Or album.
No, last weekend I went to my parents to help with my dad, who's now decided to rebuild an Alfa Romeo Giulia QV. Nice. Tough times for him. Yeah. Hence why I had to go over and help. But near, like 5 minutes away from my parents' house, there is a junction. And it's a junction on like a semi-normally busy A road. Actually, it's quite quiet, actually. Mm. The junction is a normal junction. You can, when you pull up to the junction, you can see both sides easily. Mm. Just behind that junction, there is a junction to the junction, if that makes sense.
Okay,
there's a T meeting just before the other T.
Okay.
They've decided they need to do some works on the curbside of the main junction.
Okay.
Fine, easy. What they have done is put in a set of four-way traffic lights because they're taking up, I'd say, maybe 20% of one of the lanes.
Okay.
You could quite easily drive around it. You can still probably fit two cars side by side.
Yeah.
But for precaution, they have put a four-way traffic light.
Okay.
Everyone runs a red light. And I pulled up, and my dad had actually told me about this. He said, watch out, because there's a load of traffic. That's the most dad thing. Yeah. Watch out for the temporary traffic lights up at the end of the road. Right. Came up there. It's a free-for-all. The light is going green and red and orange. No one is paying attention. Because it's a junction that you can just see. Everyone can see still.
Is it carnage?
No. Because
people just function?
It's just a normal junction
it's
still.
It's amazing how people will... Either that will cause complete carnage because people are stuck in this... I have to run a red light. Oh. But also logic tells me this is normal.
It's quite funny. I experienced it a few times. Someone who's local just breezes straight through. They're like, I'm going straight through. The person behind them goes, whoa! And you see them slow down. Mm. And the person in front goes and they go... Oh, so we're allowed?
Well, if they can.
And then everyone goes.
Yeah, then they put blue lights on.
But then sometimes there's someone who's maybe not so local is at the front of the line and they stop and you can see all the locals just edge, like their front ends just poking out going, I'm going to go around you.
I'm seconds from the horn.
But I just thought after our discussion before about, I don't even run one in the night, I watched hundreds of people, myself included, just going.
Set up a little camera, get a nice.
I'm not listening.
Going.
Not listening to this red light. No. Which is good. You know what? That gives me hope. Not everyone is an NPC these days.
No.
That people go, I can see, I'm fine, it'll be okay.
That's like a mildly countrysidey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think you put that in a city somewhere and it will be utter carnage. There'll be cars T-boned.
Yeah.
People wiped out on the street, police at the scene, fires.
Helicopters hovering.
Yeah, the news there going, this junction is causing mayhem in a city here. Don't run red lights.
Don't do that.
Only when it's logical.
You know?
Only run red lights when it really makes sense.
When you're really sure there's no police.
This is not advice. Ben, you've put in here a piece of code.
Yes.
M4 to I4.
Which yes. I responded and said, children playing battleships be like.
Yep, but exactly.
What is the actual meaning?
So, it's a sad one for the boys to hear about. There's not much really to even talk about. I'm just going to tell you the story. Essentially, there is a house, actually not even very big house.
I feel where this is going.
A small, like small, normal house, right? Not like a fancy rich person's house. And they've always had, for the years I've been driving past it, a
F82
M4. And it's really nice. It's on the many-spoked wheels.
Okay.
It's the dark blue
colours. It's competition. A San Marino.
I think he's lowered because he looks lovely.
And wait, San Marino BCS.
This house.
San Marino.
You can get it on a normal comp?
Yeah.
Sorry, please carry
this
on.
This house has always had one car outside of it. Normal looking house. And it's just that. And it's just
what colour are the seats?
I think they're lighter.
So the silver, that's the combo.
That's the nice.
It's nice. And I drive past it fairly often. And every time I drive past it, I look at it and I think, there it is. There it is. He's looking great. He looks so good. And I've always been interested in it because of the fact that it just feels like an odd car to have outside that house. You know what I mean? It feels like you that's a car guy. You prioritize things in life. And I drove past yesterday and on the drive was a 25 plate BMW i4.
It's a toughie.
And I'm going to assume my heart sank.
You can only pray that they moved out.
Yeah.
And I know they haven't because the house wasn't for sale. The house wasn't for sale. And I've walked past there before and I've had a look at the car.
Dead. Died.
But why would...
Maybe. No. Hey. No, we can only... Be. Let's look on the bright side here. Took it in for a service. Courtesy car. Sir, please enjoy your new i4 just for a bit. And right now, you know, he's looking out on the drive and going, ugh, disgusting.
I just want to know how that happens. If it has, and I'll be honest with you, it's the first day I've seen it, so we could be fine.
Come on.
Do you see this car regularly?
Yes.
It's on your computer.
Ben? It's on the way to my girlfriend's house from my house.
Please. So
the years I've been driving past it, it's been there.
Please, an update next week.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
And if it's there next week, can we please give you some homework to go knock on the door and ask?
I don't want to do that.
Ben's not doing that.
I like the cars on your commute. It's the cars you see that they almost feel like friends.
Yeah.
You don't know them. Sometimes I don't even actually know what the owner looks like.
No, but I know
But I've seen that car so many times. I'm going to go this way past where the green Jag is.
Maybe it's...
Or where the blue M4 goes.
Maybe it was the cars we met along the way.
I think it is.
It actually is.
There was... During 2020, the big illness, I used to work at a co-op. This was before car throttle days. And I would go for an early morning shift. And my drive
was... going to be something else.
I thought it was going... I thought it was Lee Delamere for a second.
A nice big early morning shift, okay? And I would drive across... my commute was like very countryside. Single track lanes. And... At that exact time,
it was a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah, very much, I suppose. Just the one spot, actually. And it's a 15-minute drive. And every morning when I went for an early shift, there would be a man who would end up on this same patch of road directly behind me in E36 saloon, black. Ooh. The mods are questionable.
Okay.
Very loud pipe, angled coming out the back, and crazy stance.
Unfortunate.
But he's a proper car guy.
Yeah, sure.
And I would see him every single day.
You and the boys.
Behind me. And I used to think, you know what? It's the morning. You get out of bed, you have your coffee, you get in your car, you see him, the day has begun.
Do you ever do the thing, I do it with like my friends when they come over with their, especially car sort of people, they haven't seen for a while, I give them a tour of the local cars. Like I'll on the way somewhere, I'll be like, if you look in the drop, yeah, you see that? There's an E39 M5, that's nice. And then I'll go like, oh, hold on, we'll go on a little detour, we'll go down this road. See, look at there, there's a Corrado that's been parked off 20 years, that's cool. I don't know why, it's one of my favourite things.
I start to learn someone's life. There's an E60 M5 that's just literally round the corner from my mum's place. And it's been there basically since I was a kid.
Even I
know. So yeah, I mean, I told you, and I've heard that thing cold start. Like he uses it every single day, pretty much. I need to look at the plate to see how many miles he does.
Yeah.
But it's an Intel Argos Blue E60 M5. And it's been there for years. And once it went away for a bit, I was like, oh, no.
He's gone.
He sold it, but it's still like years. That's years of owning this E60 M5. And I feel like I start looking, maybe he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Maybe he works nearby. He has a short commute.
Build
therefore, he can say, do you know what? I can have an E60 M5 for everyday use. So
it was one of my earliest memories on the way to my grandma's house, which is like half an hour from my parents. There was a Monaro parked in... It was like you come down a hill and it was in a farm and the farmhouse had a garage, but the door was always open.
Mm.
This garage door never was not open. And there was a black Monaro sitting in it. And I was always like, what the hell is a Monaro doing in Berkshire?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be there. And then I went past that sort of down that route a few years ago. My grandparents had passed away decades before, but I'd never been back that way. Mm. And for some reason, my mum was like, it's going to be there. That door's going to be open. It's going to be inside. The first time I went past it, the door was closed. And I was still like, it's in there. It's just in there.
It's still in there.
I went past like another year later and it was, the garage was empty. And I was like, man, where you gone?
It's like the end of a sad movie.
It genuinely was. It was closure, but not in the best way.
But yeah, so if, go on. I want to put it to the creamers. If you, I'm sure everyone has this shared experience of a car that you see all the time. If you see that car and you see that owner, just tell me you like it.
You know what?
Because
I don't even think you need to.
But or give them a smile or a nod.
Unspoken.
Yeah.
Words aren't required. It's just a silent movement.
But there could be someone on your commute, someone who likes your M3 and sees it and they go, oh, I love that car. I see that. Or your Range Rover.
I think really nice L322. It would ruin it.
No, they just say to you, nice car.
I agree with speaking to them, but a nod. I like a nod.
A little nod because it stays. I stay anonymous.
Exactly.
We're not friends.
No.
We know.
Yeah. It's just a.
We're part of a very secret club. So we don't know each other's names. That's Mr. Green BMW.
Of course, yeah.
Which, and I am Mr. White McGann man.
Yeah.
And not just my white man, but White McGann RS man. And that's it. That's all we need to ever be.
That's all we are.
We never meet. Once we meet, the illusion is ruined.
But me and Edwin had it. We were on the M4. I don't know where we were going. Not long after start TDC. And I remember a week before at a service station, I had seen a light coloured ish blue E34 M5.
Yes.
I don't know what colour it was.
It wasn't an M5. It was a
clean 5 series.
Yeah, it was a 5 series.
E34 saloon, lovely. And I remember saying it to the group chat with these guys and saying, that's a great car. And we saw it on the motorway.
Yeah.
And everyone was driving, I was in the passenger, and we pulled up alongside him, and I just held up a photo of it, and I looked it out, and I put my thumb up, went and pointed at it, and he loved it.
Yeah, he was
He loved
very
it.
Happy.
He was like, oh, you see my car, you love it.
And yeah. Because you'd taken a photo of it at the services,
yeah,
and so it was on throwing stars. It looked really nice. Mm. And the guy kind of looked across a little bit kind of sheepishly. And as Ben was like pointing at his car, you could see him kind of squint and go, what car? That's my car. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
Kind of also a bit creepy, but he loved it. And I thought, you know what?
That's a picture of him in his house.
Him asleep in bed.
That's you.
And Ben runs his hands across his throat. And you're dumb.
I think that would make someone's day.
Yeah.
But anyway.
To other people, well, or any of us could be that person.
Absolutely.
That person all the time.
Yeah.
Or they could be going, God, that McGann is so horrible.
Why is that man ugly in a Land Rover flashing a LED light bar at 90 miles an hour? Very, very quickly, we haven't got long left. T8, we were out on a drive somewhere, can't actually remember. Creo Parts, that's what we were getting. And we saw, or you spotted it actually.
A 1x1 plate in the UK.
Green Alpha 147, relatively standard thing with the plate T8.
Yeah. £1,000 car,
yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
And we checked the prices on those plates. They are selling, let's say, listed for anywhere between £300,000 and £600,000.
Just cruising around in a green Alpha 147.
It's just that doesn't hoo-hoo. And I checked it. I checked the MOT history. It's for that car. It's correctly registered. That is where it is.
And on that incredibly rich note.
Yeah, sorry. Our card's about to run out.
And we feel very poor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. We'll see you next week.
Please. Bye. Cars roll everything around me. Bye.
Cream.
Cream, 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 creamers.